Trend number three, global gridlock. Right now, the transportation systems that support the economy appear to be highly efficient. To the casual observer, whenever a company needs to move its goods around the country or around the globe, it can do so fairly cheaply and easily. But according to a recent Harvard Business Review article by George Stock of the Boston Consulting Group, the present recession is masking a crisis of global proportions. When the economy rebounds and demand begins to exceed its previous peak levels by even a little, there won't be enough capacity to move the world's goods around. For example, truck traffic is increasing at a rate that far outstrips the construction of roads in the U.S. and Europe. Similarly, while freight volume is going up sharply, the railroads are actually reducing the amount of track they have available, and delays are already increasing. In terms of global shipping, the largest seaports in the U.S. and Europe were already up against their capacity before the recession, and 20 U.S. airports are expected to exceed their capacities by 2015. Yet no new U.S. airports are in the works. As the world's biggest business economy, the U.S. is particularly vulnerable, and few executives even recognize it today. One of the reasons for this problem is explained by the history of manufacturing in the U.S. In past decades, companies attempted to reduce the costs of production by building large, efficient factories in low-cost areas where labor was relatively cheap and regulation was favorable. It didn't really matter that the customers were far away. The nation developed new roads, faster rail service, better air transport, and more efficient container ships, which made shipping cheaper. Fuel costs were also low and stable. All of that has changed in recent times as fuel became more expensive and the supply chains became overburdened and overcrowded. When transportation reaches a bottleneck, it burns more fuel, exacerbating the problem. Goods become tied up in transit, increasing effective inventory and reducing profits and working capital. Logistics costs soar. Even when deliveries are delayed, a company can adapt. But if the system becomes erratic, then scheduling becomes a problem that can quickly escalate costs, as factories have to remain idle waiting for supplies. This can be especially harmful when consumer demand for a product fluctuates, as it does with fashions and consumer electronics. Companies can wind up with too much or too little of a product and miss the selling cycle altogether, or else be stuck with inventory. According to Engineering News, the container shipping business, which is the mainstay of global trade, is growing at 10% a year, while port capacity remains static. Much of this growth is due to offshoring. And while it may be cheaper to manufacture in China, for example, it becomes much less so if the products don't arrive in a predictable fashion. One well-known bottleneck is the Panama Canal. According to an article in The Guardian, 5% of the cargo in the entire world has to fit through the man-made channel. Not only is it crowded, but the newest ships, which are 1,400 feet long, can't even fit through the canal's locks. There is now a $5.25 billion plan to expand the canal, but there's no telling when it will be completed. Meanwhile, more and more goods are being shipped every year. The best estimates indicate that the amount of goods shipped via container will double by 2017, while the fleet of container ships will increase by 60% over the next decade. Unfortunately, most of the largest seaports in the world are located in densely populated cities, so there's simply no room to expand. Therefore, expected growth in port facilities will amount to no more than 4% worldwide. Most ports and the carriers they serve have already switched to around-the-clock operations in order to try to meet growing demand. Container operations are also devising flexible pickup and delivery schedules that can take advantage of off-peak times to avoid bottlenecks for freight moving toward and away from the ships. A big contributor relieving bottlenecks is information technology that is being optimized to provide up-to-the-minute information on what is needed, where, and when. What's in store for businesses as this trend evolves, and what can they do about the pending crisis? Here are five forecasts. First, given the strain on infrastructure, it is unlikely that a transportation crisis can be avoided as the global economy recovers and commerce intensifies. That means that companies that evolve a winning strategy for managing their supply chain will have a distinct competitive advantage. Walmart has shown the world that mastering logistics can be a key driver of profit for a retailer. This will become even more important because it doesn't matter if a company offers the most innovative products or the lowest prices if its products are tied up in traffic when customers are ready to buy. Companies that jump on this trend now will have a head start going forward. Second, among the strategies to watch for in this emerging competitive arena will be offerings or negotiated deals involving premium services. Companies that ship and deliver, for example, can offer to sell a manufacturer a premium slot on a ship so that his containers are loaded last and unloaded first at the dock, greatly speeding shipping time. Some companies will arrange to have their merchandise sent directly to the store where it will be sold, rather than to a central warehouse. Firms that use railroads will begin contracting for an entire train dedicated to their products alone. And companies will negotiate with manufacturers to reserve specific time blocks dedicated exclusively to their products so that they can meet fluctuating demands predictably. Other companies, especially those with unpredictable demands, will switch to all air freight, even though it's more expensive. All of these strategies and more will begin to shape the new competitiveness going forward. Third, look for a reassessment of outsourcing strategies worldwide as companies take a hard look at the real costs, including shipping, of manufacturing in Asia. Mexico will be the big beneficiary on this continent. It's close enough to the U.S. to make the higher labor prices, compared with Asia, vanish as shipping costs and delays are factored in. Likewise, Eastern Europe will benefit from taking on manufacturing for Western European firms. Around the globe, manufacturing will move closer to home. Fourth, more manufacturers will leverage IT and flexible systems to create a distributed just-in-time capability closer to the customer. The traditional idea of building a giant plant that makes only a few products for worldwide distribution will be replaced by much smaller regional plants that will make many more products to be delivered over shorter distances. The increase in unit production costs will be offset by much reduced cost of shipping and logistics, and the much faster and more predictable cycle of delivery. And fifth, companies will offer end-to-end logistics solutions so that manufacturers can, in effect, buy a turnkey system to overcome the transportation bottlenecks. The best ones will be driven by information technology that keeps all players in the supply chain well-informed from moment to moment. Look for excellent startups in this field, but don't be surprised if a giant such as Walmart, which has already figured much of this out, decides to sell its knowledge as a total logistics solution for major manufacturers. This will be a growth industry, as the transportation will get a lot worse before it gets better.